This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Almost said final hour. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. So we're going to get down to the nitty gritty on this whole immigration topic here, because there's a story that has people outraged, but are they outraged at the right things? We'll do some emails. Yet another Democrat is standing with the criminals? I don't understand. A wonderful story out of Washington, D.C. I'm not making that up. All that and so much more in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, Abdul El Said is a Democrat candidate for Senate in Michigan. I'll tell you what, let me repeat that. Abdul El Said is a Democrat candidate for Senate in Michigan. Okay. Well, you know that the Ayatollah is no longer with us. He's no longer with us because we vaporized him. He is gone. Okay. Abdul El Said has chosen not to comment. Well, that's weird. I mean, you may be for Iran war or dead set against the Iran war, but no matter what, I would venture a guess that you're not sad about the death of that piece of trash, right? I'm certainly not. Okay. Abdul El Said isn't comfortable saying anything. Why?
I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
There are a lot of people in Dearborn, that would be Dearborn, Michigan, who are sad today. Sad because the murderous jihadi who sponsored terrorism all over the planet died? Why would people in Dearborn, Michigan be sad?
I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
Hmm. What people in Dearborn? Who are the people in Dearborn? Oh, look at that. It's the Muslim population in Dearborn. Okay, all right. Well, look, we're just going to follow this logically, okay? Muslim population in Dearborn. How'd they get there? Did they cross the border illegally? Did they low crawl across the border? Mexico? Canada? It's probably Canada, right? They made some canoes and cruised across Lake Erie. Now they set up shop in Dearborn, all these illegals. That's weird. They're all here legally. Headline, attack on Michigan synagogue was Hezbollah-inspired act of terrorism. We actually have synagogues being attacked because we have Hezbollah terrorists in the United States of America. Huh. Okay, put a pin in that. Here's a representative. She's in the United States House of Representatives.
The SAFE Act, which is a piece of legislation that is in regards to, they say, creating a safe election. And we say it is a bill that disenfranchises half of the population in the United States. It's a bill that requires for people.
You now have a Marxist in a Somali accent lecturing you that showing ID and proving you're an American citizenship would disenfranchise half the population in the United States of America. Okay, let's go to a different Democrat, shall we? Hold on. I need to make sure I'm reading this one correctly. This was on MS Now. Representative Raja Krishnamurthy. Raja Krishnamurthy. Okay? This is what they have to say about ICE and Border Patrol.
How steeled is the spine of the Democratic caucus right now?
I think it's pretty strong. Look, I think that people like myself and others, we're not going to send another nickel to ICE and CBP.
Okay. Raja Krishnamurthy doesn't want any more money for ICE. All right. Here's the mayor of Chicago.
What's your message for the community here?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. We have to end the assaults against working people. We have to end the assaults against immigrants.
Governor of Minnesota.
A special thank you and a special acknowledgement that we will never leave the side of our Somali Minnesotans. Here's our pledge.
And one more time for good measure. The man trying to be, and quite possibly will be, the next senator from the state of Michigan.
I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
How did this happen? How can this be? How do we get here? Immigration. With mass immigration, we cannot win. Remember that every time some loser Republican tells you, I'm against illegal immigration, but legal immigration's great. With mass immigration, legal or otherwise, we are fighting a battle we cannot win. The numbers game simply says it. With mass deportation, with the cutoff of immigration, we cannot lose. And I really do mean that. I want you to listen again to Ilhan Omar, what I said. SAVE Act, show ID, prove you're an American citizen. Simple for you, right? What percentage of voters does she think won't be able to do that?
SAFE Act, which is a piece of legislation is in regards to, they say, creating a safe election. And we say it is a bill that disenfranchises half of the population.
The communists think if you have to show ID to vote, half the people won't be able to vote anymore. Remember when I've told you the Democrat Party is a 20% party? Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating in elections, the Democrat Party doesn't become a minority party. The Democrat Party virtually ceases to exist in any major form. It's gone. Becomes a 20% party. It becomes the Green Party, the Libertarian Party. That's where the Democrat Party is without the mass importation of foreigners. People heard the Democrat candidate for Senate in Michigan talk about how he can't make a statement about the death of the Ayatollah. And they were all outraged. This is crazy. We can't do it. You see Republicans across the country, including in the state of Texas, say things like, we have to ban Sharia law. Okay. We're going to ban Sharia law. Okay. Why don't I talk about that much? Well, you can ban it or not ban it. If you massively import Islam into your country, it's coming. If you don't do that, you won't have it. It's just that simple. We're trying to take a bottle of ibuprofen because we have a headache. But we have a headache because we have a gigantic tumor. And the gigantic tumor is the mass importation of foreigners in the United States of America. You can take all the ibuprofen you want. It might even make the headache go away for a minute or two. The tumor has to be cut out. It has to be cut out. You cannot massively import foreigners and preserve a free country. I don't care how many laws you pass, how many bans on Sharia law, how many things in the Constitution you reference. I don't care what it says. I don't care how many paperwork Americans you make. You know what? He took an oath, and now He's just as American as you and me. You know that? You know what? Abdul El-Sayed, he's just as American as you and me.
I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
Ilhan Omar, she's just as American as you and me.
Safe Act, which is a piece of legislation that is in regards to, they say, creating a safe election.
Raja Krishnamurthy, just as American as you and me.
How steeled is the spine of the Democratic caucus right now?
I think it's pretty strong. Look, I think that people like myself and others, we're not going to send another nickel to ICE and CBP.
All these problems disappear with the mass deportation of foreigners and the cutoff of immigration into the United States of America, legal or otherwise. Not a single one of these problems can or will be solved unless that happens. Pass all the laws you want. We'll do some emails next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. One more thing about what we were touching on last hour about how they're not sorry. Evil isn't sorry. You know they're going to pretend, some of them, right? Some of the smart ones will pretend to be sorry. Some of the architects of all this misery and communist filth, as soon as it gets unpopular or unprofitable, they'll act like they're sorry, but they're not. Larry Fink might be one of the biggest ones. You know Larry Fink if you listen to this show, CEO of BlackRock. Remember, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, those are the three finance giants you've never heard of before. They control $20 trillion. They control more American companies than you can possibly imagine. What have they been doing with that control? Oh, I don't know. Let's go back to ancient history, 2017, and listen to BlackRock CEO Larry Fink about what he dictates to the companies underneath him.
Well, behaviors are going to happen.
By the way, why does everything have to be a rainbow flag now? Trans this, black that, feminist this. Why is it all that? Why is corporate America involved in it? Because BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street forced it on them. Here's them bragging about it.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change. And this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added four more points in terms of diverse employment this year. And what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay?
We're doing the same thing.
And so it's just, you have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And that's not recruiting. It is development, as Ken said. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seen more opportunities. And we're going to have to force change.
But he's really sorry. He's really sorry. I mean, he wasn't that involved in all that, except he was super involved in all that. But he's really, really sorry. And you know how I know he's really sorry? Because he just went on Fox News and said this.
Do you believe the woke era, a failed experiment, the ESG, the DEI, the kind of push for that? That when you talk about things now, you talk in a practical sense, what we can do, what we can get done. Looking back at that, how do you see it?
Society moves, the pendulum moves all the time. In BlackRock's cases, we are responsible for managing money for everybody. So do I?
We're in it for everybody, man. It's not that we're trying to get rid of the straight white man anymore. It's everybody.
Believe the pendulum 5 years ago was too far? Yes.
You do.
Well, I believe we're more I'm personally more pragmatic, too. And I believe...
But do you think BlackRock pushed some companies a little bit further left than you thought?
It was never our intention, because our job is to be...
It was never his intention. That audio bit we played, did it sound like it was his intention? Anyway,
be a fiduciary to everybody who gives us money. Our responsibility, Brett, is to making sure if one of our investors wants to invest 100% in hydrocarbons in Texas, I'm investing 100% of the money in Texas. But if another state fund wants us to invest in, let's say, all green energy, we're going to do that. It's their money. But today, because of AI and the overwhelming need for power and electricity, it can't just be one way right now. It can't just be hydrocarbons. So if you see what China is doing right now, China is rapidly building more nuclear than any other country in the world. They have the largest solar fields in the world, yet they're the biggest importer of gas and oil. And so to me, more importantly today, I think society has moved into a better position of having more pragmatism. And what you're hearing from me is I'm echoing what we're hearing from our clients.
He's just a pragmatic business guy, man. He doesn't, don't think he's ever going to force anything on anybody. If whatever you want, that's what he's going to do. And some things went too far. He was never involved, really, in that. It was just kind of whatever you want. I mean, he didn't do anything, right?
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year, and what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted. Okay,
we're doing the same thing.
And so it's just you have to force behaviors, and if
do not forgive, and do not forget, unless it is asked for in a genuine way. The people who moved this communist revolution forward, who ran white men out of corporate America, the people who are still trying to do it, they may from time to time act like they didn't. I'm just a victim of circumstances. That's what communists always do when they get caught red-handed. Always they try to pull that crap. Don't ever, ever, under any circumstances, let them get away with it unless they come to you with genuine contrition and a genuine apology. Don't let them do it. Trust me, they're going to do it again next time, the first freaking chance they get. Larry Fink, if we elect a Democrat again, God forbid, is going to turn on you so freaking fast. Your head's going to spin. All right, I will get to emails. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, absolutely amazing Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris Corey, I forgot to tell you guys. There's a new chicken wing place going in across the street. And it's so, remember back in high school? I remember when we were in high school and we got word that we were getting a foreign exchange student into our high school for our junior. Hear me out, Chris. We were getting a foreign exchange student into our high school junior year. And then we got word there was going to be a chick. It's going to be a woman. And so every dude in high school was abuzz. Are we going to get a hot Swedish foreign exchange student chick? And you don't know, right? You don't know. She might look like Joy Behar, but she might not. And you don't know what you're going to get. That's how I feel whenever I find out there's a new restaurant that I'd never heard of being built. You don't, what, Chris, what? Do I know the name of it? I do know the name of it. I do. I do not at this time feel comfortable giving that name out on the air because it'll be interpreted as, an endorsement or an insult or something like that. I don't feel comfortable at this time, Chris, going public with this information. I know I could have told you, but I don't feel right telling you things that I don't tell everyone else. So you're going to have to sit there in the dark until that place gets put in and we get some wings. Gosh, I love chicken wings. Jesse, your open rant on Monday. You hit the bullseye on government thievery that bothers 90% of our citizens in one way or another, but missed the most important part. 535 members of Congress couldn't care less when it comes to the examples you gave, and their actions prove it. So as I can say his name, is Jim in North Idaho. Well, it comes back to a conversation we've had, and we will continue to have. Patriotism. Patriotism is not some eye-rolling thing. You know, it's not just for July 4th when the fireworks are going up. It's not just for the baseball game when that lovely woman is belting out the national anthem and you're getting misty-eyed at the end of it. Patriotism is the essential element to continue a country long-term. And you don't like this, and I don't like this, but it is true. The House of Representatives and the Senate, less so the Senate, but definitely the House of Representatives, it is an accurate representation of us as a people. We here in the United States of America, and I'm not talking about you specifically, but as a people, as a whole, we have lost the essential element to continue as a country, and that is love of country. And that is for a variety of reasons. One of the main culprits there is the education system. Our education system has been infected by communists for years, teaching generation after generation that America sucks, America sucks, America sucks, America sucks. The end result is we as a people, as a whole, we do not love this place the way we should. So what is the House of Representatives going to look like as our patriotism goes down? Well, it's going to be full of people who don't give a crap about the country. And that's the American ones. Not to repeat myself, but what do you think happens when you massively import foreigners? These people don't love the country. They don't have any love with the place. It's just another bank vault for them to pillage. It's all they've ever done their whole lives. Now these people are in Congress.
Safe Act, which is a piece of legislation that...
Of course Congress doesn't care. They don't care because, and this is not all of them, they don't care because for the most part, they don't love the country. I tell you what, I'm not going to divulge who. In fact, I'm going to be so insanely vague because I have to protect some people here. But I just, right before the show started, I hung up the phone. I had a 15-minute, that's a long time with me, for me. I had a 15-minute phone call with somebody inside the administration. I will put it that way. Inside the administration. And this person inside the administration was insanely frustrated. And you know why? Because this person desperately wants what's best for this country. This person also said to me on the phone, Donald Trump wants what's best for this country. And then this person told me, in no uncertain terms, there are all kinds of filthy snakes in our government around Donald Trump, in the House, in the Senate, all kinds of filthy snakes in our government, and the country never crosses their minds. They think about poll numbers, public approval numbers. They think about this thing. They think about that thing. They think about their next job. In fact, that specifically is what this person said. They're all just worried about their next job. The country, when they have these meetings, and this person is in these meetings, the country never comes up. Now, there are exceptions, obviously. In the House, in the Senate, there are exceptions for sure in the Trump White House. I'll tell you, if I have to name drop somebody, this person spoke very highly of J.D. Vance and his passion for the country. Stephen Miller also in his passion for the country. This person said deep, deep caring for this nation. And again, Donald Trump, to his credit, and this is someone who would know, deep passion for the country. But there are so many people who make critical decisions on your behalf and my behalf, and the country just doesn't cross their minds. It's very frustrating. Mr. Big Hands, what is your opinion on the free state of Florida as a Texan? Says his name is Zane. I love Florida. My wife and I, during COVID especially, we used to go down to Florida on vacation because it was the only place you'd go where you didn't have to wear a dumb mask and things like that. Ron DeSantis, best governor in America, has been the best governor in America for a very, very long time. It's wonderful, been absolutely wonderful. So we love Florida. Every now and then, we always do this. We dream about buying a place. We never actually do it. We have one place. We're probably always just going to have one place. It's just normal for a human being. We don't want a second place, but we think about, what if we bought a place there? You know, and you start dreaming, what if we bought a place there? And so one time we went over there. I had to go over there for work, for some speaking thing, meeting. I forget what it was. We had to go over there, and I brought Aub with me. And we started bouncing around, looking at, not anything fancy. We're not looking at penthouses here, but what's a little condo down here cost? We found this little bar and grill that we loved. Oh, these oysters were so good. And so immediately we started looking at condos that were walking distance, and we were just dreaming. Hey, what if we came over here and bought a condo or something like that? We could rent it out, make our money back, and then when we wanted to come up, what, Chris? Do you have a problem with me making a buck? Anyway, what if it was walking distance from this bar and grill? We'd go down, watch a game, eat some oysters, dreaming. And it didn't get serious. But we started pricing things. Well, how much is it going to cost? Man, I love Florida. Love it. It maybe there will come a day where I will live there someday. I was just floored by the costs. And look, that's credit to Florida. Everyone wants to move there. Supply and demand being what it is, real estate keeps going up, up, and up. Insurance goes up and up and up. This is all a compliment to Florida, not an insult at all. What you could get for your money there, I thought it was a little eye-popping. I say not a penthouse. We'd be in a freaking shanty if we bought a second place over there. Anyway, whatever. I have my chalk. That's all I need. That's all I need. All I need is my male vitality stack from chalk. Natural herbal supplements. You see, your testosterone levels, everyone's testosterone levels are in free fall because of all the estrogen. Endless estrogen that's freaking in every daggone thing. It's awful. So how do you fight back against something that is attacking your T levels when you're showering in it? Well, you fight back naturally with natural herbal supplements. Ladies, by the way, you're not left out. They have a special female vitality stack for you. There's a male vitality stack for men. You want to avoid being Lindsey Graham? Get a male vitality stat. 90 days, you're a new person. A year, you're unrecognizable. I'm on year 4. Trust me on that. CHOQ. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, absolutely amazing Tuesday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So we got to check in again with Gavin Newsom's wife. So, and Kate, let me give you a little background in case you're not up on this. Gavin Newsom, I'm convinced, is a lizard person, a horrible human being from bottom to top. Gavin Newsom's wife is probably significantly worse than he is. He has had to act like a complete communist in order to achieve power in California, and he has achieved power. Governor of California is no small thing. That's a really, really big deal. But now Gavin Newsom wants to be president of the United States of America. Gavin Newsom is also smart. This is a problem, but it is what it is. He's smart. He's clever, I should say. He's clever enough to know what sells in LA County is not probably going to sell in rural Pennsylvania. And you can't get elected president from California. California is already, look, California has already been called for the next Democrat nominee for president. You must venture out into middle America and convince normies that you're not a cuckoo Libby California freak. And so Gavin Newsom, again, he's no moron, he's very clever. He knows this. So what's he been doing? Well, of course, surprise, he wrote a book. As I've told you before, that's what you do if you're going to run for president. You write a book. The book tour allows you to campaign without officially campaigning. Hey, I'm not campaigning for president. I'm just telling you about my book. You write a book. Then you get invited on every show and podcast in the country to hawk your book, but you don't care about book sales. You're running for president. Gavin Newsom has been doing this, only he's not just going on far lefty podcasts. He's actually taking a page from Donald Trump's book. Donald Trump did something very, very, very smart. Donald Trump realized you can't just stay in the right wing sphere and expand your coalition to the point you can get elected. As we discussed when it comes to Iran stuff, you're already voting for Trump. I was already voting for Trump. You have to add to the coalition. So Donald Trump didn't come and park it on this show every single night. Donald Trump went out and went on Joe Rogan, not a political show, Theo Vaughn. I just keep naming those two because those are two of the biggest ones. All these shows that I would never listen to, but my sons might. Shows young men listen to, young women listen to laugh, learn, things like that. Trump did that. Trump won the presidency. Gavin Newsom paid attention and said, okay, that's a demographic I have to go get. Trump went and got him. Now he's in the White House. Gavin Newsom, he's going to try to do the same. Sit down with Theo Vaughn. And I don't know if they've even hooked up. I don't follow his career. I don't know. Nothing against him. I just don't follow it. I'm going to go sit down with Theo Vaughn and those young men listening to Theo Vaughn. I want them to hear about me, Gavin Newsom. And he's trying desperately to sound like a normal dude. He's trying. But Gavin Newsom has a wife problem. It's not unusual. You know, they say that old saying, behind every man is a good woman. It's very, very true. You know, I don't know where I'd be without OBS support, things like that. But a bad woman, she can drag you down in unimaginable ways. She can either lift you up, support you, hold you up, or she can hold you back. Gavin Newsom is bending over backwards to convince normies that he's a normal dude. I like guns, man. Hey, look at me. I'm in my blue jeans. I'm like you. I go to Jiffy Lube. And then his wife can't keep her dumb face off the podcast circuit. Is out there giving interviews where she talks about visiting you like you're in the gorilla enclosure in the zoo.
I don't think, or I know for a fact, that we don't get all of this history in our schools. And it's part of, and you know, enlivening them, building their curiosity, expanding their hearts, their empathy, so that they themselves can be the change they wish to see in the world and recognize that, you know, we have work to do and that we have healing to do. And so that they can be, you know, use their voices to stand up and speak out when they see pain and suffering and bullying and racism and misogyny around them. And
you want them to see it so that they know.
I do. I'm a truth seeker. They need to know the truth.
That was Gavin Newsom's wife talking about why she takes her kids to visit red states. I don't know if the anti-Newsom ads, if he even wins the nomination, which I'm not sure of, we can talk about that in a second. If he even wins the nomination, I don't know if the anti-Newsom ads even need to feature Gavin Newsom I think you could just start buying $100 million in advertising in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and just keep putting his wife out there. Now, that said, I made a prediction some time ago, and I'm not sure it's going to be true. My prediction was that I don't think Dome is going to run again in 2028. And my reasoning for it was the donors were mad at her because she blew $2 billion on top of, you know what, never mind. The donors were mad at her because she blew $2 billion. The wins were looking like they were possibly going to be against Democrats in 2028. She's young. For politics, she's young. She's 60 years old. So I thought she sits this election cycle out. Let Newsom and Pritzker and these guys run into that brick wall, the brick wall that's probably going to be named J.D. Vance. Let them run into that brick wall. And then 2032 comes around, out comes Dome, and she runs to be the Democrat savior. That was my prediction, if we're being fair. But I'll tell you, every single poll, in every one I've seen, every single Democrat primary poll, Dome was ahead. And comfortably ahead. I don't think she's going to be able to say no. When you're the leading candidate, are you going to be able to say no? Anyway, all right. We'll talk a bit about the attack on the family. We'll talk about Democrats' defense of crime. Dirty thieves. Before we do that, something great happened in this country. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.